Welcome to Freedom Cast, a podcast dedicated to interviewing star icons and entrepreneurs who have encouraged others to become more healthy and active. My name is Ashton, and it's my pleasure to host you as we take another trip through the fitness industry. It's entertaining and informative, and I hope it makes fitness more exciting and special to you in your own fitness journey. Freedom Cast is supported by Freedom Fitness Equipment in Charlotte, North Carolina. Freedom Fitness Equipment serves the health and fitness community nationwide, from free weights and strength equipment for home gyms and studios to cardio and conditioning equipment for commercial spaces. Check them out at freedomfitnessequipment.com. Let's get rolling with today's show. Yeah, so what did you post on TikTok that just like started popping off?
Honestly, my first ever video, I think, technically went viral. It was just my overhead press. Wow. I think it was my first time ever hitting 405 or 425. And we had an event at my gym. It was called Freak Night. And essentially, it was like an open house where all the pros went. And, you know, the gym was slammed. And I got hyped up for a really big lift. Everyone thought I was hitting a squat on TikTok. And it happened to be an overhead press. So
Oh, gosh.
I got really lucky with that. Yeah.
Wow. Holy cow. So you're putting up insane numbers anyway, and I'll ask you about those in just a second. What was your overhead press for that one?
I think for that video it was 425. But I recently pushed it up to 440, and I'm trying to hit 455 ish this block. So
holy crap. So yeah. Are you lifting with like I know you've got straps and stuff, so you're not doing multiply. You're just doing basically raw, right?
It's pretty much raw. So the way that I wrap my elbow wraps are essentially similar to like cuffs, from other companies. So it's just for tendon support, and it really doesn't give me much assistance compared to how you can wrap it, if that makes sense.
That's crazy. Wow. Yeah. No, it does make sense. Okay. So. For idiots like me who didn't know anything about you starting out and like people are listening to this podcast, can you give us a little bit of background about who you are and how you even got started into the powerlifting game?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I could start with my name. I'm Daniel Rajab. I'm 28 years old. I've been powerlifting for 7 years, I think, around there. And I've just always been strong, I guess, my whole life. I played football and got into lifting for that. And I love bodybuilding, you know, so I grew up trying to bodybuild and I just felt like my genetics weren't there for it, which I kind of regret now because I feel like it didn't really matter, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it was more of my training style. And I was repping like 405 on flat bench when I was like 20 or 21.
What?
With terrible form, you know, like bodybuilder form, you know, elbows flared out, flat back, like no leg drive. Had no idea what I was doing. And my friend, actually Nick Kiger, he was a big influencer a while back. I don't know if he's still lifting or not. I went to high school with him and he told me like, man, you should try powerlifting. And I had no idea what it was. Didn't know it was a sport. And then, yeah, that's how I got into it. So I learned leg drive. I learned proper bench technique and my bench went up about 70 pounds, I believe in a few months.
Wow.
Just from technique alone. So.
That is crazy. When did you realize that? I mean, you knew you were always strong. You played football and that kind of thing. But like, when did you really realize, hey, these numbers are like record breaking?
I mean, I guess I still kind of don't realize it. You know, I'm still kind of like mind blown by where my strength is at now. Mm-hmm. Like I said, when I was younger, I was always stronger, but I was never heavy. So I weighed like 175 to maybe 180 pounds at 6'2", which is pretty skinny. And then in high school, I pushed my weight up to about like 240 to 250, but I was kind of fat.
Yep.
And I was benching in like in the 300s and I didn't really think anything of it. You know, obviously until all my friends were telling me, man, you're really strong, you know, you're getting there and this and that. And yeah, I just kept doing it, you know, for the past 18 years. And I guess, yeah, now I'm here where I'm at. I never thought I would be in the 600s. I never thought I'd be benching in the 500s. You know, I have some followers who have been like with me since day one and they still remember when I was benching in the fours, you know, chasing 500. So,
wow. Is the 242, 275 the weight classes that you're competing in, or is that something else in your profile?
Yeah, so those are the weight classes I compete in. Right now, I mean, honestly, 242 is probably going to be out of my reach. Mm-hmm. Just because this off season, I'm trying to push into like the 290s to light 300s.
Wow.
Just because it's a lot easier to cut weight, if that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. for powerlifting standards, you can cut like 30 pounds if you're in the 300s, obviously, to make weight, and then you'll gain back probably that much weight for meet day. Okay. Versus just walking in at that weight.
Gotcha. I'm curious, from a professional standpoint, is it better to be at the low end of that, like as lean as you can get in the weight class, or is it better to push it as far as you can and try to get up to whatever max weight capacity is for your category?
In my opinion, I feel like powerlifting now is really about how much weight you can cut and how lean you can come in. Hmm. You know, so looking at old powerlifting videos or records, you would see people at like 20% body fat, 25% body fat at super heavyweight, and just more weight, you know, was better. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, I feel like every record holder out there has an 8-pack. They come in at around like 10 to 8%, maybe a little bit leaner. You never know.
Yeah.
And they're just like insanely shredded for their weight class. So I feel like, yeah, coming in at a leaner weight is probably better. For the pros, I would say as a beginner, just come in at whatever weight you're at. Don't even think about cutting. Hit some PRs and enjoy it, you know?
Gotcha. From a physiological standpoint, why is it better to come in leaner? Because my opinion was always that you would want to max out the muscle mass for that weight class as much as you could. And is it because of the risk of going over or something else?
I would say it's more due to the compounds nowadays. It's a lot easier for people who aren't natural to stay,
okay,
you know, in that 8 to 12% body fat percentage and cap out at their body weight. So like, let's say, you know, you have people competing at 198, they might be 220 in the off season. Hmm. And then, you know, come meet day, they come down to 198, and then they're competing at essentially 220 in the 198 weight class.
Interesting.
You know, versus I would say some of the natural competitors who are, you know, 15%, 12%, maybe even closer to 18 to 20, depending on their weight class. It's a lot harder to put on muscle mass and maintain muscle mass.
Right. Okay. So. Gotcha. That's fair. I noticed on your YouTube page, what did it say here? It listed your stats and then sponsored by Larry Wheels. How the heck did that happen?
So I feel like I got extremely lucky there again as well, man. Like I've just been getting, I say it's luck, but obviously it's from hard work and stuff like that. So he noticed me. Really, it was his manager who noticed me first, Adam Silver, StrengthNet. Okay. He saw my dumbbell work. I was doing the 200s for sets of like 20 on dumbbells.
Lord.
And I've always been stronger with dumbbells just because of the way I grew up. I used to always train with dumbbells, you know, because I wanted to be a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
And dumbbells gave me a better contraction. So I trained with those. And they noticed me on that. And then they started noticing my other lifts. And yeah, they reached out to me about, I think, a little over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. They reached out to me and we worked something out, and I've just been growing ever since, man. It kind of gave me more motivation, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
So did you end up when it says sponsored by Larry Wheels, like, are you now part of, like, is their media team helping you with like social media marketing or things like that? Or was that made practical?
To an extent, yes. So they run their team personal record page, and they will repost athletes as well as, I believe they repost some people who aren't athletes if they're somewhat impressive or interested in that athlete.
Okay.
To kind of boost their social media as well. You know, when they sponsored me, I had about 2,000 followers, and now I'm at about 3,100 on Instagram and I think 130 or 140,000 on TikTok.
Yeah.
So they kind of took a shot with me and it paid off for both of us. So
nice.
Yeah, I got lucky, man.
And I'm sorry, you said, you mentioned this earlier, but did you know Larry Wheels personally before this?
So I had met him actually, this will be a funny story because I don't think I've told him this yet. So I trained really close to where he originally trained at Mount Vernon Barbell.
Okay.
And I would go up there for like my max attempts because I trained at a very, it's more of like a club, not so much a gym, if that makes sense. That's where I worked out at. So yep. I would try and drive to these hardcore gyms to hit these big numbers. And there was one day when I'm the last person to try and clout chase. I actually avoided Larry from spotting me because I didn't want to try and like pull that card. And there was one day I was going for, I think it was a 525 bench. It was a PR at the time.
Whoa.
And there was no one in the gym except for Larry and BTC. And I had actually asked BTC to spot me instead of Larry just because I didn't want, you know, anything like that. And then there was one other time when Larry spotted me with, I think it was 180 pound dumbbells on incline. And I never tagged him in the videos. I don't even think I posted them on Instagram because I was, like I said, I just didn't want to try and, you know, get clout off of his name.
Sure.
So, you know, that's a funny story, I guess. I met him twice before.
Okay.
But
okay.
I don't think he knew who I was at the
time. Gotcha. That is insane. And speaking of gyms, like, where in the world are you going? Because these places that you are posting seem like they're insanely well equipped and just awesome.
Well, my current home gym I've been training at is Carbon Culture in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Okay.
I would say it's more bodybuilding oriented. We have pretty much the best equipment you could find anywhere.
Yeah.
We're starting to expand our powerlifting equipment. We've got like kilo plates up to about, I think like 1,000 pounds, somewhere around there.
Yes.
Deadlift bars, squat bars, everything like that. But they just bought me a fat pad because I was complaining and they overnighted it. So I'm really happy about that. And then like a lot of these other gyms, man, I've just been traveling a lot, you know, with my sponsors and stuff like that, trying to explore and find cool gyms, man.
Yeah.
I went down to Texas and visited Absolute Recomp. I don't know if you saw that video. Their gym was like, I think it was like 60,000 square feet or something. It was incredible. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it was huge. It was absolutely massive. Like half of the gym was set for like the powerlifting equipment. Then like they had a whole leg day section and the rest was just like your conventional bodybuilding style gym. And they had dumbbells up to 200s, which was great.
Wow. So, that's rare too. Jeez.
Right, right. So
what's I think I saw you recently. Were you repping out 250s?
Yeah. So that was the first time I went down to Texas. It was for FitCon. And I was
starting
to get like noticed. That was right after I had gotten sponsored by Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Went down to FitCon and I did 242s. Like I did makeshift dumbbells. I just pretty much chained chains around the dumbbells to make them weigh more.
Oh geez.
And I hit the 242s for 8 reps, I think. So I was like, I can easily do 250s. And I went to Metroflex and they actually had their 175s, 200s and 220s were all being fixed. So I had to go from 150s to 250s with no warm up. And that's why I paused them. I was very nervous about tearing something or breaking their 250s.
Yeah.
And that was, I believe, the heaviest set ever done with them. The only person to ever do them before me at that gym was Big Boy. He did one rep and they bought those for Ronnie and he never used them due to injuries. So
gotcha.
I want to go back and hit him for 10.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. We were down for FitCon, me and a buddy of mine for last year in tech. Are you planning on going down again in this year?
Yep.
Sweet. Okay.
If you're there, let me know, man. Shoot me a message. I'll find you.
Definitely will. That'd be awesome. Seems like you do a lot of things for shits and giggles on social media, so, which I freaking love.
Yeah.
So what? I know you do, like, you'll respond to comments and be like, yeah, I can rep that. So like anything crazy, like what's the craziest thing you've done for somebody?
Like rep wise or just like actually doing something stupid?
Actually doing something stupid.
I would say it was my overhead press clap rep.
No, you didn't.
I don't know if you saw that.
No, what?
Tagged, Yeah, I got tagged in a bench video of a guy doing clap reps with 225.
Oh no.
And I was training shoulders that day, and I was with my friends, and they were like, dude, you can just do it with shoulders. So I did it with 135 really easily. I did it with 185 really easily. And then I went for 225, and I was like throwing it in the air. And I was like, there's no way I'm gonna clap this. I was too nervous. I thought I was gonna kill myself. So yeah, I would say that's probably the stupidest one I've done. Either that or the sit up with 315.
You sat up with a bar with 315?
Yeah, I did. So I went from a bench press. I did like an ab crunch and like sat upright and then overhead pressed it and then laid back down and kept benching it.
Holy cow. There was some guy I've seen, maybe
Dream World.
Say what?
That guy, it's Dream World. He does that a lot.
Okay, gotcha. Where he like flips in his lap, does a thing, and comes right off the bench.
Yeah.
Crazy town.
That guy is strong, man.
Yeah, it seems
the
like
the craziest
it.
Part about him is his physique is like, he looks like a bodybuilder. He looks lean year round.
Yeah.
So
that's hard to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the cutting year round thing is, that's so rough. You met, I know you posted photos of like Jay Cutler and some of these guys. Like, how'd you end up meeting Jay?
So again, I got lucky. Like I said, we, the gym we go to, Carbon Culture, they're pretty well known in the, with the bodybuilders, like the owner knew a lot of bodybuilders and they actually flew out a bunch of pros for the grand opening.
Cool.
Just a lot of pros were there, man. So I got to, like, again, I didn't want to take a lot of pictures with people because it was, that's just not how I am. I'm not going to be a fanboy, even though, you know, I grew up watching them and all that.
Yep.
So Jay was one of the people I did take a picture with. And I met, like I said, I met a lot of pros that day. That's how I met them, you know. You know, my girlfriend actually knows a lot of pros as well. So I met a lot of pros through her.
Okay.
Including Flex Lewis and Brandon Curry. So that was actually really cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
So at this point, I'm guessing that this is your full time.
Kind of. Yeah. Kind of.
Okay.
So my main income is, yes, from lifting and sponsors. Mm-hmm. But I also work at my gym just for extra income.
Okay.
So hopefully one time, like eventually, maybe in a year or two, it'll be like 100% full time. But right now I do want to make extra money elsewhere.
That makes sense.
For the kids listening, don't think that you can just make all your money off sponsors and stuff like that. There's always room to make more money.
Well, and with powerlifting and bodybuilding too, especially, it's a very, the sport itself, you can't, I'm sure you know from like competing exclusively, you have to be sponsored in order to make.
Oh yeah. There's so. That's one of the reasons why I really haven't competed in a while. There's absolutely no money in competing.
Yeah.
It is a good way to get your name out there. But right now I got lucky with social medias, like I said, so I've been trying to push my socials a lot harder.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to chase that 700 pound bench. If I was trying to do a meet, you know, I would hope for like 650 to 660, but I'd have to cut weight.
Yeah.
So there's no point in me cutting weight now while, you know, I'm pushing my socials and then essentially lowering my lifts to a degree.
Right. When did this start to become like the thing you were doing all year round? I mean, were you, what was your job history like before this, or were you always in the lifting world?
So I've always been lifting, but my job before, I was a contract engineer.
Okay.
And I actually made really good money. I was working for like AT&T and a lot of companies around mid Tennessee.
Yeah.
And then like the job title that I was doing was kind of like getting pushed out. They deemed it pretty much unnecessary to do for most jobs. And then I kind of like bounced here and there, just bouncing at like different bars and clubs and stuff like that. And then during COVID, I got let go due to COVID, you know, and then kind of was lucky enough to have savings and stuff to survive. And then I would say in the last year, I just started really making money lifting. So I've been lifting for 18 years, 17 years. And then it took me that long to just finally start making a living wage.
Gotcha. Yeah. So this is fair. So this, well, I mean, the success is, I mean, you've been successful for a while, but I mean, like the actual, like, monetarily being able to monetize that in every regard. Right. It's fairly recent. Nice.
Yeah.
So then for that, I'm always curious about that, especially with sponsorships and things. Like, were you having to go out and reach out to people? Did you already have relationships with these guys and be like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this full time. What would you think about partnering up?
So there's one company that I was with that I had a relationship in the past with, okay. Obsidian Ammonia.
Yeah.
Like, I love their product. I've used it plenty of times throughout the years. And then there was one day when, like, we were just talking and I was telling him how, like, I was helping one of their sponsors push product. And he was like, hey, why don't we just work together? And I was like, I don't know. I'd never thought about it. And he was like, all right, well, here's your code. Here's this and that. And I was like, all right, cool. Everything else, I got, like I said, I got lucky with Larry. Adam had noticed me again with the mm-hmm. dumbbell set, I believe was the first one he saw.
Okay.
And then with Rise, they actually made a TikTok. And this was when I first made my TikTok and I was blowing up. They made a TikTok and they were like, hey, we're looking for a new salaried athlete. Tag your favorite content creator.
Ah.
And it was when I had first started my TikTok. I gained like 30 or 40,000 followers in maybe a 1 to 2 month period. And yeah, exactly. So they all just like stormed Rise and like tagged them and got me another sponsorship. So I have, you know, all my fans and followers to thank for that one, which is incredible.
That's huge.
So I haven't really reached out to anyone as far as, you know, I know.
But, you seem like a likable, like, community guy. I mean, you know, seems like people freaking love you, man. I mean, honestly, like, it's, I don't know if you've known, but I mean, the gym community is pretty positive overall, especially in like the powerlifting strongman world. But
I mean,
has the response to most of what you've done been positive, or has it been?
Yeah, I feel like it's because I it's kind of like two-sided what I do. So I take a lot of time out of my day to go through and read comments and respond to people,
nice.
Which does take away, you know, time from my day. But when I was younger, there were a couple kids in my school who were older and said they would help me out in the gym. And I like really looked up to them and then they never came through. So it kind of like left a bad taste in my mouth. So now that I'm at where I'm at, I really want to kind of influence as many kids as possible and know that, like, yeah, even though I have however many followers, like, I'm still going to do my best to respond to you. And, you know, kids will tag me in their bench PRs and it'll be like 225 at 15. And I'm like, dude, that's crazy. And they'll freak out, you know, and they'll be like, oh my God, you responded. I'm like, dude, yeah, of course. Like, I'm trying my best to respond to everyone. So I feel like that's why all these kids support me as much as they do. It's because I'm trying my best to support them as well. I do a lot of giveaways. You know, I think we did about $800 worth of giveaways in September alone for my birthday.
Wow.
Just giving away a bunch of stuff like that. I don't know. I just want to give back, man. All these kids, you know, they're busting their ass off and they deserve it, in my opinion. You know?
Sure. Sure. And you mentioned all the hard work and competitions and kind of being out of that for a little while. Have you competed a lot or do you just kind of do it sporadically?
So I've only competed twice in powerlifting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Once when I was 23, well, both times were when I was 23. Huh. One was in RPS. It was my first meet ever. Mm-hmm. I think I went 8 for 9. I went 7 for 9. Sorry.
Okay.
I dumped my second bench on my rib cage. I dropped it and it fell. Mm. It was 460, I believe, was my second attempt at 23. And then I hit 475 for my third attempt and it moved well. I believe that put me at like 50 in the world at my weight and age.
What?
Which I really had no idea until I looked it up just recently, which I think is really cool. And then I think I had a 1745 total at 242, which is pretty decent. It was like an elite total. Then I was planning on competing in nationals. Sorry, my cat. It was either USPA or USAPL. I don't remember which federation it was.
Yeah.
Whichever one is the less strict fed.
Probably USPA.
I went 5 for 9, I believe. I was weighing like 250, and my friends were getting in my head, kind of told me I wasn't going to make weight. It was 10 days out. So I did 10 days of cardio and I came and weighed myself at 230. So I had cut way too much weight.
No.
Screwed up all my attempts because of it. And I had like a 17:29 total at 230. So I lost a little bit on my total. I missed all my attempts really. And then after that, you know, this is going to sound terrible, but I compared myself to, like, you know, Dan Green and Kevin Oak Strong.
Oh yeah.
Larry Wheels, all these athletes who were my age at the time, totaling in the 2000s. And I thought to myself, you know, I can't compete. There's no reason for me to keep competing if I'm not there. Mm-hmm. So I stopped competing until I felt good enough, which in my opinion, I regret, because obviously I'd have a bigger following if I had been competing. And now here I am. I almost have like a 2,200-2,300 total if I hit my gym lifts in a meet. And I still haven't competed just because I still feel like I'm not good enough, you know? So, and now here I am, you know, trying to take the number one bench. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, but, well, with competition, it's, to me, it's, and I haven't competed, so I probably can't speak very well to this, but you can. And the environment is totally different. The risk of injury is totally different. Like, you've probably actually done yourself a service by not trying to, I don't know, max out frequently to get to competition level.
I would agree with that. Simply because personally, I only max out every 3 to 6 months. Mm. So I would say maybe like 2 to 4 times a year. And I do go off program when I have, like, you know, Tumbarello flew in for New Year's and I hadn't eaten food that whole weekend. Like, I was off my meal plan and we weren't sleeping well. We were hanging out, having fun, doing everything. You know, I was showing him Nashville and I went for a max after that. So it was a bad idea, but I almost hit 660. So that was a good sign. I took it as a win, even though I missed it.
Yeah.
Just because I almost hit a PR on a bad day.
Yeah.
So like a lot of these kids trying to compete super often, they don't give themselves time to grow and improve. So, I mean, it's a lot of the kids want results now instead of wanting to put in the work for it. So I guess you're right. I think it's, you know, sitting back and kind of just training for the past couple of years has been good for me.
Sure. Is the training regimen these days looking more like powerlifting, more like bodybuilding, a hybrid between the two? Because I see you doing, I guess, a mix of both, I guess.
So the way I train, I would say I do about like a 3 month block of hypertrophy. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily bodybuilding style, because I'm still doing like all the main lifts and lifts or accessories that help those lifts out. Mm-hmm. But they are hypertrophy based. So I'm doing sets between like 8 to 15. Sometimes I'll do sets of 20. And then for the next 3 to 4 months, I'll be doing, you know, my strength block, let's say sets of like 5 to 10, maybe 12. Same thing, you know, same movements, keeping it super simple. I don't really change anything up for my training except for my rep ranges. And it's been working for me.
Yeah.
Every now and then I'll change up my accessories if I need to. Mm-hmm. And then again, I'll do like another 3 month block of just heavier weights. But generally for like my hypertrophy and my strength block, I will always work up to a decently heavy single just to see how I feel for the day.
Okay.
So I'll always work up to about like 85 to 90% for just a single. Should be still a warm up to me. And then, yeah, I just pretty much do what I've been doing. But I know a lot of people are super strict on just powerlifting training. But in my opinion, I feel like you need both. You know, it's like a happy medium.
Yeah. Well, you need the hypertrophy cycles for sure. I would think to just grow the muscle, period, you know.
Absolutely.
So you got to get that in the offseason at a bare minimum.
Yeah. One of my friends, he's a coach, Joe Corsi. He does a lot of hypertrophy work for his clients just because it's something most kids don't do. Mm-hmm. And like you said, they need that to grow. And that's super important.
Yeah.
So
plus you'll look damn good.
Yeah, exactly. They'll look better and they'll lift more. So,
you mentioned, girlfriend, are you married now? I thought I saw something about that. Maybe I was
no,
wrong.
Everyone calls her my wife. Did you just roll your eyes? She's actually right here.
Hey, how's it going?
So we've been dating for a little under 3 years now.
Okay.
We're not married yet. So hopefully one day she'll say, yeah, we don't know. I'll hope. What? She's rolling her eyes again. But yeah, no, everyone calls her my wife in my TikToks and stuff like that. I don't correct them because honestly, there's no difference to me. If I'm taken, I'm taken. So I'll let people call her my wife. I'm fine with that. You know, nice.
I like it.
But yeah.
Where did y'all meet?
I guess kind of like through mutual friends.
Okay.
It's a very interesting story. But yeah, we met through mutual friends, I guess. And then I don't know how you want to, ever since then, we've just been madly in love. So yeah. No, she hated me when we first met, and then I won her over with my humor and charm and good looks and my magnificent beard.
It's especially the beard.
Especially the beard. You hear him? No. But yeah, she pretty much hated me. And then...
Really?
I grew on her. Yeah.
Interesting.
She had dated bodybuilders in the past, and she thought that every bodybuilder was just like... an asshole who was self-absorbed, and
they're not wrong.
Yeah. So when she first met me, she thought I was a bodybuilder, and then she realized I was a power lifter, and I would bring her like pizza and unhealthy food and win her over that. Yeah.
She liked to eat. That's awesome. I love that. My wife and I are foodies, and that's one of the like between that and lifting, that's a great relationship to have.
Right, exactly. So she competes in bodybuilding, though.
Okay.
I'm trying to convince her to powerlift because she's extremely strong for her size.
Mm-hmm.
When she was, she had just competed, what did you weigh, 125? She was like 125 in her show.
No, at the show it was 118.
Oh, at the show she weighed in at 118.
Okay.
So she's around 118 to 130. So she would compete at probably, if she wanted to, the 115, I think it is.
Okay.
Weight class.
Yep.
And she squatted 315 for five, naked knee. Yeah, exactly. Deadlifted 330 for a double and pulled 365 for a single. This is no powerlifting training at all.
What?
And she had benched 205.
Okay, yeah. Hey, if you're listening, you need to compete.
Exactly. She's crazy strong, but like she just loves bodybuilding, you know. She loves dieting and all of that,
man. That so you know, from what I know about bodybuilding and interviewing like half a dozen bodybuilders already, like that is absolutely brutal. I don't know people who like actually they like the result afterward, but the right. process. So she actually likes the process.
No, I was kidding.
Oh no.
Yeah, she hates it. But she loves the look after. So
yeah. Okay, gotcha. That's funny. Yeah. Dang. So is she? So she's as much into fitness as you are, frankly.
Yeah, I would say she's just as much into fitness as I am. Not so much the social media side.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to get her to make a TikTok and stuff like that because she is insane. She gets like, I think she got down to 7% body fat for her show,
whoa,
which for a woman is extremely lean.
Yeah.
And I have some pictures where she has like pec striations and like her delts are insanely capped.
Wow.
So I've been trying to get her to like, you know, post videos like that on TikTok and stuff, because she would blow up. But she's just not interested in it. So yeah.
You gotta get her on there. Maybe some people are listening to this can tag her on Instagram.
I post her every now and then.
Hey, there you go.
Post her every now and then, yeah.
I don't think I asked you this. What are your actual lift numbers and maxes for, I'll do squat, bench, deadlift, and overhead press.
So this is going to sound dumb. I was peaking for the way I had my squat training. I did a whole block of reverse bands for a specific amount of time.
Okay.
And then I would repeat the exact same weights without the bands for the next block.
Okay.
And that is how I actually progressed my squat to the sixes, to the sevens, and then to the eights.
Huh.
So I was peaking for a 900-pound squat with 50 pounds of reverse bands. So it was 900 at the top, 850 at the bottom.
Wow.
And the people at my gym who owned the Buffalo Bar actually hid it from me, and they didn't want me using it anymore. So I was unable to finish that block. But my best squat in the gym was 865, 815. So it was a 50-pound difference.
Okay.
My best squat without the bands from my block afterwards, I hit 700 for a triple.
Okay.
And then I was not able to use their Buffalo bar anymore because they actually, I switched gyms. And the gym I'm at now, the squat bar doesn't really sit well on my back. It slides down a lot because of how the knurling is.
Okay.
So I haven't been able to do a lot of barbell back squats in a while. Okay. But my best, again, is 865, 815, or 700 for a triple, which is about probably 800-ish. My best bench was 655 pause recently.
Hell yeah.
And my best deadlift was 735 at 242. I haven't really maxed out recently on that either. I've been focusing on form a lot. Mm-hmm. Because I did gain weight, my leverages have changed. Mm-hmm. So I have to adjust my form for that. And I pulled 705 relatively easily. Just on like, I'm about to start my block. Let's go max out, see where I'm at.
Yep.
Worked up to 705 on kilo plates from a deficit too, which was impressive.
Wow.
And I pulled that. So I would say, you know, in a meet, if I was peaked, I'd be happy with like 850, 650, and 750.
Yeah.
Which would put me at 2250-ish or 2200, something like that. 2200, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Overhead press
is... Oh, my overhead press, my best was 440 strict.
I just seated, can't, I can't wrap my head around 440.
Yeah, so I really wanted to hit 200 kilos, but I did start from about chin level just because my mobility and my shoulders is terrible. So, okay. I mean, like, if I go like this, this is the lowest I can go. I can't go any lower than that. So I start at about chin level. And again, for me, the way I train my overhead press, it's essentially to improve my bench. Okay. So it's the same arm angle as my bench, which is one of the ways I train. And then seated, I hit 545 or 565, somewhere around there on my overhead press. Okay. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Is your overhead press like, is that essential? Would you consider that your signature lift then?
I would say it's my most impressive.
Yeah.
I never really trained it when I was younger. Honestly, I did. I think that's why my shoulders were as strong as they are now. I did a lot of hypertrophy work. I did a lot of lateral raises. I never really touched barbell presses ever for my shoulders until about 22, 23, when my friend Nick had told me, hey, do these, it'll increase your bench. So I started doing them and I was really good at them.
Okay.
And now here I am, you know, 6-7 years later, shoulder pressing 400 for reps.
So. And it's like easy. So any tips? Because my bench press and my overhead press, now preface this, my arms are super long and I know guys, and I can deadlift like crazy, but my bench and my overhead press in particular are bad. And I know overhead press, like you said, really helps the bench. Any tips for overhead pressing? Other than positioning on your hand and that kind of stuff, like loading the bones in your hand that you could recommend?
Honestly, just do a lot of hypertrophy work for your delts, man. Like, don't even think about overhead pressing as much.
Mm.
In my opinion, I don't think if you overhead press too much, I don't think you're really going to get that much better. I mean, obviously you will, but
yeah.
I think accessory movements are what's really going to help.
Okay.
You know, if you fail at lockout, it could be due to like not bracing your core properly or something like that, or the fact that your legs are giving out, maybe your back isn't strong enough.
Right.
One of the ways I set up for my overhead press is I think about setting up for a back squat. So I'll lock my shoulder blades back, I'll lock my lats in place, I'll take a deep breath, and I'll set up for my back squat, but I'll start in a front rack position. So that might help as well. You might unrack it and you just might not be tight enough, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, the time under tension and that kind of thing. Okay, gotcha.
All right. Honestly, I have no idea why I'm this strong.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to tell you. My workouts are very basic. I don't do anything crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I do a ton of lateral raises, front raises, rear delt work. Sorry.
Yep.
And that's really it, man. I don't do any accessories for my overhead press other than that. And it's just been going up. You know, I do a ton of tricep work as well. So maybe tricep strength.
Sure. Well, I mean, keeping it simple is probably the best for, especially for somebody starting out too. So I think that's just fine. I wanted to ask you about, what was that other question I had in here? Have you ever, I know I asked you that before. Like, I know you lift raw, but have you ever tried equip lifting at all? Like with gear, with,
I've never, shirts and stuff? I've never actually tried it. I have put on a shirt one time.
Okay.
Just to see how difficult it was to move my arms. Yeah. And I literally, with all of my back strength, I couldn't even bend my arms a little bit. So I feel like it would be, I feel like I would bench a lot.
Yeah. Like over 1,000 pounds. The form,
I do a lot of slingshot work for accessories. That's the one bench accessory that I love doing.
Yeah.
Just because, so you know Eric Spoto, right? Glenda Spoto Press. So Spoto Preston is essentially like a bench press, but it's where you stop, you know, 2 to 3 inches above your chest.
Okay.
Right. And it's supposed to help your bench a lot. But when you do that, you're supposed to be at around like 80 to 85% of whatever weight you were just doing working wise.
Okay.
So let's say you do 100 pounds on your regular bench for sets of five, Spoto Press, you go to 80 pounds for sets of five, and et cetera. I found by adding a slingshot in, just your basic slingshot, you can stay at 100% of your working weight for your Spoto Presses. So let's say for me, I do 550 for sets of five on my raw set, pause, mm-hmm. I'll go to my Spoto Presses with a slingshot at mm-hmm. 550 as well.
Okay.
Just so that I can kind of train my lockout a little bit more.
Yep.
So that is somewhat similar to equipped, I guess, the closest thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the slingshot, just for people listening, like that's a piece of fabric that is, it's stretch. What is the actual material? It's not nylon. It's
Kevlar, I believe.
Okay.
Maybe, just, I'm not sure.
Okay. And it just, you just wrap it around your, near your elbows, and it stretches on your chest, and it's like an elastic reflex to get back up to,
yeah, it's like a rubber band, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Excellent. So you're going to be, where are your travels taking you next? Like what's your next destination?
In 3 weeks, I believe I'm going back down to Texas. Okay. I'm going to go visit the Rise headquarters again.
Oh yeah. They're building a new place, right?
We're announcing like the Rise Fuel launch, and we're doing a huge meet and greet with all the athletes. A lot of the big named athletes are supposed to be there. So I'm excited for that.
Awesome.
And then I was supposed to go to the LA Expo to lift at Iron Wars for CT Fletcher. That got delayed until May.
Okay.
So I have Texas in 3 weeks and then Cali in May. And I would like to sneak a trip to Dubai somewhere in there to go lift with Larry, but we'll see about that. So it's if my girl's up for the travel and traveling that often. That'd so
amazing. Yeah. Larry lives in Dubai, right?
I believe so. I know he's been there for a really long time, so I would assume he lives there.
Yeah, you got a place there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Then he'll be back at FitCon in Texas, which I was excited about. That thing is getting bigger and bigger. They keep adding locations, so I'm pretty excited. Do you know the organizers there?
For
FitCon? Yeah.
I don't.
Okay.
When is FitCon this year?
That's in June.
June?
Yeah, it should be at the same place. Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome last year, man. It was really cool.
Yeah. So. Had a good time. Where can people find you if they want to look at your amazing overhead pressing on social?
Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, just my name, Daniel Ryjov, Ryjov.
Awesome.
Just super simple. And yeah.
Awesome.
That's where it's at, man.
And I just want to let you promote a little bit here. You've got programming too for, it's all the lifts, right? You've got coaching and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. So it's not me coaching. It's
okay.
Someone who I have had coach me in the past.
Oh, got it.
He still does my programming for my squats and deadlifts when I am training them. It's my friend Joe I told you about. He's extremely knowledgeable on lifts. He actually just hit, I think it was a 793 deadlift. He's a 900 pound squatter. dude is insanely strong. He's going to be pushing some records here soon.
Wow.
Competes at 275 as well. Just all around good guy. And he writes his programs, all generally personalized. And I had asked him to make affordable programming for my followers. Mm-hmm. So our bench program is about $10, I believe, for a 12-week block. It might be 8 weeks.
Okay.
But yeah, so I just wanted to make it, you know, a decent program that was affordable to people who generally can't afford it. Because kids always ask me, how do I increase my bench? How do I increase my squat? You know, even you just asked me how to increase the overhead press. So I had him create a couple programs. We ran it, saw how it was. I approved. He obviously approved because he wrote it. And everyone who's ran them has increased their lifts by a good amount. So yeah, that's where the programming is.
I like it. You're so incredibly busy. I mean, would you ever get into the personal training side of things? Or are you trying to just like do the lifting side and that's it?
I used to personal train. I totally forgot to tell you about that.
Oh yeah.
For a while back, I was doing personal training and I did really well. I love training, but it was frustrating when you didn't have clients who are actually into the gym.
Yeah.
So I might try online coaching sometime soon. I really don't know. I don't feel comfortable really programming people when I don't know it'll work, if that makes sense.
Yep.
I don't have much experience doing it except for myself. So I would rather, you know, give a different coach's info out versus taking people's money and not knowing it'll work.
Sure.
Obviously I could do that. I could, you know, charge kids $200 a month, $300 a month for online programming and just be like, oh, you didn't hit your PRs. You suck. Like, you know, instead of being like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. To an extent, obviously.
Yep. Well, I mean, or you could just go completely the opposite direction and just only train celebrities like Larry Wheels.
Oh yeah. I mean, that, honestly, I wouldn't mind like helping out kids with like form and stuff, but doing like actual programming and stuff, I don't feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
And I do have kids message me a lot on like social media, on Instagram and stuff, and ask me to go over their bench form and I'll respond to them. So I do give out free advice like that. Please do not blow up my team.
Here it comes.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm going to look at my Instagram next day. It's going to be like 1,000 requests of just videos. If you do send me a video, please crop it so I don't have to watch, you know, the setup and like 2 minutes of you walking around and getting excited and stuff. I don't know.
Sniffing on ammonia and be like, whoa.
Yeah, right. I had one kid who sent me a squat video and literally he didn't crop it at all. So I watched him start the recording, walk up to like the rack with his camera, place it down on the ground, walk back to his bag, grab his belt. And I'm like, sitting here, you know, waiting for it to load. And then finally he did a squat and it was like a single rep. And I had to rewatch the whole thing like 8 times. And it took like 20 minutes out of my day just to watch his squat form. But yeah, so.
First thing about squat form, get to it.
Yeah. Crop the video.
Crop the damn thing.
So.
I love it. Well, keep it up, man. I mean, you're from all appearances, absolutely freaking crushing it. So
thank you.
Yeah. You're doing I know you probably didn't need anybody to tell you that, but like, I love your stuff and I love following you and seeing the vids and stuff. And it sounds like you're like really coming into it with all the sponsorships and everything. So keep it up, man. It's been awesome to watch. And you're like a genuinely good guy. Like there's jerks out there and there's people who are promoting all sorts of BS. Like you're legit, you're original. And I really appreciate that about you. So.
I mean, like I said, man, I still feel like, you know, I haven't made it, if that makes sense. I still feel like I'm grinding. I'm trying my best to get there.
Sure.
And I know how much work it takes to get there. So any kids who are like trying to hit PRs and stuff like that or are chasing the dream, I get it. I know how hard it is and I'm trying my best to help people out, man.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It, especially in the lifting world, like there's a lot of people who they're not good people, but they're also like a lot of people who are just trying to make it like you were, you know, 18 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I would say the people that are like that are more in it for the money aspect instead of the influential aspect, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, my cat is like
that's okay.
running around knocking things over. She's literally right here.
Hey. Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Begging for attention.
Well, and you've been an overnight success, 18 years in the making. So there's that.
Yeah. Too, you know? Yeah. Like I said, man, I'm still kind of mind blown about it. I'm still surprised.
Yeah.
I still haven't fully soaked it in. You know, there'll be kids who stop me at like Walmart or the gym and take pictures with me. And it's just, my girlfriend thinks it's funny. I'm still like shocked about it. She kind of gets annoyed every now and then, but
well,
part of life, man.
TikTok has really made some superstars in the social media space too.
Like, yeah, absolutely. That's why I feel like I'm super lucky with it. Cause if I hadn't started that, I would probably still have, you know, 2,000 to 3,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be making any money probably, which obviously isn't important, but it is beneficial. It does let me give back to the community a lot more if I have, you know, an extra income that lets me donate it back in giveaways and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Well, and you don't have to, I mean, not having to worry about the monetary side of things is really nice too. It just lets you concentrate on what you need to concentrate on.
Absolutely.
So that's awesome. Well, thank you, Daniel. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming on, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. It's definitely a pleasure of mine. I love doing podcasts like this. I'm sorry that it got delayed so often.
That's all good. It's all good.
If you ever want me back, man, let me know. Like I said, I love talking to people and I love letting people hear who I am and what I do.
Thank you for listening. Please give Freedom Cast a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. It would mean a lot to our business. Plus, it's fun to read y'all's reviews. See you next time.